Joshua chapter 1 is where we will be, or sort of be, tonight. That's where we'll start, at least. Joshua chapter 1. I think it might be good to just pray for Brother Graham and Mr. Forrester as well, and for ourselves. So I'll do that. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that we can come at any time before your throne. And Lord, we lift up these men that, Father, have special needs at this time. And we pray for our brother Graham, that, Lord, you would be with those that are taking care of him and the surgeons and the doctors. Lord, you'll give them wisdom to know what they need to do. And that, Father, you would care for this man and, Lord, allow him to be restored to full health and strength. And we ask for your comfort to be upon him, and that, Lord, you will be guiding him in the weeks and months to come of the wise way to act after he has had this heart attack, and that, Lord, you would just give him all the grace that he needs, we pray. Pray also for our brother, Mr. Forrester, and we know that he loves our church and prays for it every day. And, Lord, we do pray that you would comfort him. Thank you for the grace that you've given him as he's ready to come, go and be with you whenever you so desire. And I pray that you would let him be well prepared and be with his wife, that, Father, she too will have that strength that is needed at this time. And so we commit them to you. We commit this time to you as we meet around your word as well, that, Father, you would encourage us, I ask. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you can remember back, I guess, about a year ago on Sunday nights, I did a series called Wilderness Wanderings. If you can remember, we followed the children of Israel from Egypt right to the edge of Canaan. And when they were ready to go into the Promised Land, and we ended that series with them being ready to go into Canaan and Moses having died. And so things were about to change for Israel, and they were going to get a new beginning. They're going to get a new leader, and they're going to get to live in a new land. And in Joshua chapter 1, we read of the time when God himself hands the baton over to Joshua from Moses. If you were to read earlier in Deuteronomy, we know that when God wanted him to choose a man, he chose Joshua. This was Moses' choice as well. And so both God and Moses saw him as the man to take on that baton and continue to lead the people. But Moses had served well. He had loved God and he had loved God's people. And now it was time to hand the baton over to someone else to take them into the Promised Land. And that's what we read in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9, this time when God gives that leadership role to Joshua. And I'd like to read that first of all. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to thee, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. For the wilderness, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." And so the Lord gave the baton of leadership to Joshua. And it's now his time to run and be used by the Lord and serve him faithfully. And I have no doubt it would have been very scary for Joshua at this time. Imagine trying to fill the boots of Moses. You know, it'd be scary. You know, a man that spoke to God like no one else. A man who was used by God like nobody else. And imagine trying to live up to the expectations that people would have. I wonder how he felt with all the comparing. Well, he doesn't do that like Moses did, and he's not as good as Moses in that way, and so on. Because although the people would have been, when Moses was alive, was very quick to criticize Moses and whinge about Moses and didn't think that he was much of a leader, I guarantee now that he's passed on, all they're going to remember is all the great things that Moses did. And I'm sure Joshua had to sit there many a time as he heard the people reminisce about what Moses did here and Moses did there and how good Moses was. It would have been a very daunting task. And I'm sure he wondered at times if he could actually do the job. I suspect that he would have been very apprehensive at times. But nonetheless, the Lord had asked him to do a job, and we have the benefit of hindsight to know that he did it exceedingly well. He didn't know he was going to do it exceedingly well. We know that he did it. And the position that Joshua was in is something that most of us have or will find ourselves in over the course of our life. Most of us, at some time, will take over the work of somebody else, and we will fill the shoes of someone who has gone before us. And I must admit, you know, when Pastor DeYoung's hanging around here, it always puts me on edge. It's not that he does anything to do that. I just know that I am filling the boots of this man and he has gone before me and so on. That's just the way it is when you take over from someone else's ministry. And that's what all of us will do at times. We'll be given responsibility for something, and the baton, so to speak, will be handed over and we have to run. You know, boys grow up and they become men. Most get the chance to lead a family. And so they take that baton to run the race of being a godly father and an example to others. That can be scary. You know, girls, little girls, they grow up and they become women. And by God's grace, they get married and they have children, and then they get to take that baton of being a godly mother to their children as well. Young people grow up in a church and they are ministered to for years and years and years. And then one day, they start to minister themselves to others in the things of the Lord. And then as time goes on, they become the leaders of the ministries of what they were just being ministered to for so many years. And they become the Sunday school teacher or the youth leader or the director of a various ministry or the deacon or even the pastor and so on. And they have that baton given to them and they run. And for someone who has grown up in a Christian home and so had been ministered to and then become the father of my own home and then been able to minister to others in running various ministries and also going in my father's footsteps of being a pastor just like what he is as well, I have a little bit of an idea of how Joshua must have felt. And I can tell you there's two feelings, and they are that you're very excited and you're very scared all at the same time. Excited about the opportunity, but scared that you, boy, they did a really good job. I hope I don't mess it up. You know, it's a bit scary. But, you know, as time's gone on, I've started to begin to know what Moses must have felt like as well. And understanding that one day the baton needs to be handed over. And I need to do that as well. And I find that a little bit exciting and scary also. It's exciting to think that someone else can come and do some of the work and help and various things, but it's scary to think that will they run like you would like them to run? Will they continue to serve the Lord as you would hope they would? And you know, for me as the pastor, and I'm sure as all of us as adults, when we look at all the children running around outside and we see all the young people that we have in our church, I get excited about what the Lord could do and I trust will do in our church. There's a lot of people to hand the baton over at this stage. And the future is looking very good for us in regards to the next generation in this church if God's grace and His mercy continues to be upon us, and these young ones that play everywhere choose to follow the Lord and serve Him. And we can praise the Lord for that. And from the life of Joshua, there are some lessons for us who need to hand the baton over, and there are lessons for those who want to take the baton and run. The Lord didn't just pick anybody for this responsibility of leadership. It wasn't as though Moses died and then the Lord was sent in a little tiz, I'll know what I'm going to do, and he looks out amongst the millions of Israelites and he starts to look around and then he sees this old guy, because Joshua would have been one of the second oldest in the whole congregation, and says, look, yeah, you'll do. You can lead. He didn't just pick anyone randomly. No, he picked someone that had been faithful. Not someone who might be faithful, but someone who had been faithful and had been proven over the years. And that is a principle that is found in the Old Testament, and it goes right through into the New Testament as well. Apostle Paul told Timothy that the things that he had heard, commit to faithful men, that they may be also able to teach as well. And so he was to find the faithful men and teach them and allow them to be the teachers as well and continue on that work. You don't trust such an important thing as the Word of God and the work of God to just anybody. You trust it to people who have proven themselves to be faithful. And the Lord gave the responsibility of leading the children of Israel to a man who had been faithful for many years in many ways. And for us, one day, who have to hand over the baton, it's our responsibility to be proving those who we're going to hand it over to. There is a training process. There is a seeing who's going to be faithful and who isn't, who can be trusted and who can't be trusted, so that we have the right people leading this church in the years to come. And so for us older ones, we have a responsibility to make sure we hand the baton over to faithful men and women. And if you're on the younger scale, though, well then if you want to take the baton and to serve the Lord and lead in various ways here in this local church, well, then you have the responsibility of proving that you are faithful. Many people think they're going to be faithful, but they aren't actually. They realize it's harder than they thought, and they don't continue. And you can be sure, as a pastor, I'm sure the other leaders within this church, we're not going to hand the baton over to anybody. It's going to be someone people who have proven themselves. And what we discover from Joshua's life is he was certainly not an overnight success. People who are an overnight success often only last that long. A few nights, maybe. But if you want someone to be faithful for years on end, you need to find someone who has already proven themselves for years on end. And as an introduction to a new series, we're not going to continue to look at the wilderness wanderings. We're going to look at conquering Canaan. And that's probably going to take us another year, I suspect. All right. And so that's what we're looking at on Sunday nights, conquering Canaan and following the children of Israel as they go into that land of Canaan. But what I want to do, first of all, is look at the man Joshua and look at some of the characteristics that Moses saw and also God saw, so that they knew this was a man that could hand the baton over to lead the children of Israel into this very exciting and scary adventure as well. And I know that I've actually used a lot of this material before when I preached to the youth and young adults. There was a youth rally, probably about 3 or 4 years ago, so if you were there, you probably can't remember it anyway. And I know that this is a good message for young people and teenagers and young adults and so on, but the reality is this is also important for us who are older anyway, who are in leadership roles already and who are on the lookout for those who want to become leaders also. As adults, these characteristics should be found in us already. That's the thing. If you want to be a good leader of your family, if you want to be a good leader here in this local church, you should already be doing these things. So that's a little scary if you're an adult, all right? Also, if you're a young adult or even younger, or then know if you want to be used, then these things need to be found in you. And so I want to look at 4 characteristics of Joshua that we see here that should be found in every good leader. The first one is found in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, and we see here that he was a servant. It says there, "Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister," or servant, "saying." And there are other various places where Joshua is referred to the servant of Moses. Now, what we need to remember is that Joshua had been a slave in Egypt. Mustn't forget that. And because he was a slave in Egypt, he could have easily despised any type of authority over him. Could you imagine how twisted you could have come out of after being a slave in Egypt and treated so terribly? Mentally, all right, psychologically, you could have come out very twisted. And you could have had an attitude, now that I'm free, I'm not going to let anyone tell me what to do ever again. I'm never going to have to be told what to do. You could have come out very twisted in that situation. Yet we're told here that Moses' servant was Joshua. He was his helper, his minister. He was willing still to submit to authority. And you know, that is very rare to find in any generation. Even years gone by, right back to this generation of Joshua, to find someone willing to submit to authority is rare. But the reality is that is getting rarer as the years go by. My generation, we certainly didn't like submitting to authority. And I don't know how many more generations there have been since then, or one, or maybe two, but it's getting harder. And the youth today particularly do not like to submit to authority. And it is a very commendable attribute when you find it. And Joshua learned that the most important preparation for leadership is you must be a servant. And we see this principle right through into the New Testament where Jesus says, "Those who will be great in my kingdom will be a servant." He is looking for people who will serve God, who will serve men, who will submit to authority and be a servant to all. And that's what Joshua was. You know, if Joshua refused to submit to Moses' authority, do you really think Moses would have wanted him to be the leader to take over? No way. If Moses asked him to do something and he made a song and dance about it and did it with a bad attitude, or Moses noticed that he was the one dodging around, making sure that he never got asked to do anything and trying to miss everything, do you really think the Lord would have called him to be the leader? Some people say, I'm just a good leader, I'm not a very good servant. You know, it doesn't work that way. The best leaders are those who can be a servant. Question is, when the Lord looks at you, does he see a servant? When people here look at you, do they see a servant? Someone who can submit to the authority that God has placed over you, regardless if it's in the home, or in the local church, if it is in your workplace, or in this land that we live? Are you someone who is humble enough to accept correction, and advice. Humble enough to be willing to help regardless if you're noticed or not. Are you someone that can help and you don't have to be the one calling the shots and running everything? You're just happy to help. Well, Joshua had to submit to Moses, and the reality is he had to do it for over 40 years. All right, this is a long training ground. He is, if I got it right, he's around about 80 by now, by the time he gets to be the leader. Maybe older, I'm not sure, or younger. But he's around that age. Caleb was 80, so I'm not sure about Joshua. But he's been serving Moses for over 40 years. That's a good training ground, long one. And that's the first thing that must be seen in leaders here. And if you ever want to be a leader, you must be willing to be a servant. That's the first thing. Secondly, we see that he was willing to fight on his battlefield. You know, if you turn over to Exodus chapter 17, if my memory serves me correct, this is the first time Joshua is actually mentioned in the Bible. And we see here that Israel had just come out of Egypt and they were attacked by the Amalekites. And who does Moses send out to lead into battle? It says in Exodus chapter 17 and verse 9, "And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand." And so he chooses Joshua. And you know, that would have been a very scary thing. This is life and death for these men. He was just a young man. He certainly wasn't a man of war. Yet he obeyed the Lord and the Lord's servant, and he went out and he was willing to fight on that battlefield. He didn't say, "There is no way I'm going out there. Not until I'm older, not until I'm well trained, and I feel as though I'm ready." No, he was willing to go. He was willing to fight. And you know, something that I'm certainly looking for in future leaders are those who are willing to stand up for what is right. Those who can stand amongst their peers and do what's right. Who don't get led away by the crowd. Who isn't influenced by the peer pressure that's around them. Someone who can stand up and be leaders amongst their own peers. These are the type of people you want as your future leaders. You know, when I run youth groups, or when I visit the youth group, these are the people I'm looking for. People who can be leaders amongst their own peers. Because I think they are the people you want to have running things in the future. They have proved themselves. And it is very important, a very important characteristic of a true good leader is they are willing to fight the battlefields that they face. Everyone has various battlefields that they face, but they have to be willing to fight. Leaders will fight the battlefield of the flesh and the lusts of the flesh and the temptations that come. They just won't roll over and be forever in defeat and give up. Leaders will fight the world and stand against it and stand for righteousness. Leaders will stand up for the Lord and be willing to witness and give a testimony of the Lord regardless of who they're with. And if you're a Christian who lives in defeat and you act just like the world when you're around them, well then you're not someone who's going to be a good leader. And if you're like that as a leader, you really shouldn't be. You know, in the youth group that I used to run up in Coffs Harbour, there were two boys who attended the youth group, and they went to the biggest high school in Coffs Harbour. There was about 1,200 or 1,400 students there. And because of their character and leadership qualities, these two guys, one was made the captain and one was made the vice-captain of the school. And so in this public high school, there are two Christians, captain, vice-captain of the school. In fact, the vice-captain had been invited to youth group by the other chap when they were in year 9, and he got saved, and then they started to grow together in the Lord, and now here they are, captain and vice-captain. And they both had a testimony of a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. They would stand up at the assemblies in front of everyone, the whole church, not the church, they treated it like their church, but the whole school, and they would tell them that they need to work hard and they need to listen to their teachers and obey their teachers, and they'd tell them to respect their parents and they shouldn't do drugs and they shouldn't be doing this, that. They'd tell all the school this. As captain and vice captain, it was their responsibility to organise the school dances, and they refused to do it. They said, if you want us to be the captain and vice captain, we're not doing that. They made a stand against it. They organised a prayer meeting on Tuesdays at lunchtime for any Christian who wanted to come. They made little leaflets and let people know in the school. And they would go to, they had 25 or 30 kids turning up and praying for their school at this time. They were like, I used to think of them as like little modern day Daniels or Shadrach, Meshachs and Abednegos. You know, they were had a testimony. Now, is it any wonder they are both pastors now? God knew. God knew who he could trust. And if you had asked me when they were wanting to go into the ministry, do you think they can stand up for what's right? I'd say without a doubt. They have proved it amongst their peers. And if you want to be a godly leader, then you must be willing to fight on the battlefields that you face. If you want to be a godly one now, you need to be fighting in those on those battlefields. Regardless if you're young or old or somewhere in between, we all have battlefields and you must be willing to fight them. Leaders, that is true leaders, good true leaders, you can trust to be willing to fight. And that's what we see here in Joshua. But thirdly, we see, if you turn over to Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11, and I do know there's a lot here in the context, and I'm just bringing out one little word, or one verse, and I'm not going to explain everything, but it says in Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." He was found in God's house. And we see here, in regards to the tabernacle was a place to go and worship God. You wanted to hear God's word, you wanted to make sacrifices to God, you wanted to praise him. Well, the tabernacle is the place to go. If an Israelite wasn't interested in going to the house of God, that just shows the condition of their heart, that they're not interested in going to worship the Lord. There wasn't that love for God that would needed to be there. But we see here, I love that little phrase, Joshua the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. The tabernacle was important to Joshua. And you know, regardless of the excuses that may be given by some, there is something that has not changed throughout the centuries. And that is, if you want to be a leader or a good leader, a godly leader, well then the house of God must be important to you. You can't be not interested in the house of God and be a good leader as well. They must be, all good leaders must be known as people who regularly come to the house of God and want to hear the word of God and want to worship their God. It just goes hand in hand. You know, if I decided that, you know, it's a big day, Sundays, I get so tired. I decide, look, I'm just not going to come to church on Sunday nights. I'm a bit tired to do that. It's a big day for me. I'll preach in the morning and then I'll just stay at home at night. Now, if I said that, I dare say you'd kick me out from being the pastor. Why? Because it's not a very good testimony, is it? What sort of leader would I be if I weren't that interested in coming to the house of God, that they're just too tired, or there's other things I'd like to be doing on a Sunday night? You wouldn't want me as the pastor. And if I ever start loving something else more than the house of God, kick me out from being the pastor, right? Get a good one. And that is the expectation of a leader as one of the pastors. But should this be the expectation of just the pastor? Or should that be the expectation of anybody who is a leader? A leader of your home? A leader of children in various ministries? Shouldn't it be the same expectation for anyone who is a leader? You know, we have that classical words from David the psalmist where he says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of God." He said he was glad, not sad, all right? And if you look in the Hebrew, it still says glad. But unfortunately for many, it's sad to go into the house of God. It's like a burden to go, "Oh, I guess I better go." There's not that gladness. Well, leaders should be known as people who love the house of God, who come to church, who are faithful to the services, who want to hear the word of God, who want to learn about the Lord, who want to sing praises to the Lord as well. You know, if every time they turned up the tabernacle, Moses couldn't find Joshua anywhere, he's always out doing something else, do you really think he would have wanted him to be the next leader? Of course not. And I know that I need to be like Joshua, I need to be like David. And I know if I'm going to trust anyone to be a leader here, they ought to have the same expectations upon their life. So the question is, does God's house have first priority to you? If you want to be a godly leader to your children, they need to see that now. If you want to be a godly leader here, now or in the future, it's important that that is the case. And so the tabernacle was important to Joshua, but lastly, we see here that he was willing to stand alone and remain holy and pure. If you turn over to Exodus chapter 32, this is the time when Moses went up to Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. We're told there that the people, while Moses was up there in the mountain, forsook the Lord. They made idols, they worshipped these idols, they committed immorality, and basically they just had a big wild party. And when Moses heard the news of what was going on from the mouth of God himself, no doubt he was distraught and devastated and saddened by what he heard. But on the way back down the mountain, he finds someone, and that's Joshua. And I dare say that would have been so refreshing to him. It says there in Exodus 32, verse 15, "And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both of their sides. On the one side and on the other side were they written. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people, they shouted, he said unto Moses, this is a noise of war in the camp." And so we see here that he meets Joshua, and if I could read the whole passage, we'd see that as he walked down, he noticed Joshua, and then Joshua was there. And so Joshua wasn't amongst all the revelry. He had separated himself. I believe he actually walked up with Moses and then stopped there, and Moses went up ahead. But he didn't sort of filter back down. 40 days and 40 nights was a long time. He didn't filter back down and go and be with the people. And he kept himself pure and didn't defile himself with the sins of the people. And you can see why Joshua was so special to Moses. He was just this fount of encouragement. That's a blessing for a leader. And you know, I'm sure there are times when others around you choose to indulge in many sinful things. If you're out in the workforce, in the public schools, or no, even the private schools probably, there are people that want to indulge in sinful things. You know, the godless parties and drunkenness is considered normal today. That's what normal people do. You know, the filthy jokes and the filthy conversations are commonplace today in various walks of life. There is sinful behavior everywhere. And every Christian has to decide for themselves if they are going to indulge in those things or are they going to keep themselves separate from those things. Each Christian has to make that decision for themselves. And for many, you may be the only one that doesn't go to the work party because of what goes on there or where they're going. In a group of friends, you may be the only one not going off to the nightclubs. You may be the only one that doesn't get involved with the filthy jokes, and you may be the only one that actually leaves the room because of what's being said. But the reality is leaders and potential leaders, present day and potential leaders, will choose even to stand alone if that's what it takes. If you can't stand alone but you have to follow, you are not a leader. And you shouldn't be a leader here, and you shouldn't never become one here until you're able to stand alone and be willing to do it. You know, that can be scary, and it can be really hard. But that's what Joshua did. And over the years, Moses and the Lord saw this young boy grow into a young man. And then they saw him grow into a man. And they saw over time that he was someone who was willing to serve the Lord faithfully. He was willing to fight on the battlefield. He was willing to attend the house of God faithfully. And he was willing to stand alone even when everybody else forsook the Lord. And so when we read that the Lord chose Joshua to lead the people here in Joshua chapter 1, there were very good reasons why he chose Joshua. It wasn't just a random act. And the reasons and the characteristics that they saw in Joshua must be found in those who do lead here and who want to lead here in the future as well. And I trust that if you're an adult, you're leading, you can see these things in yourself. And people can see them in you. And for the young ones that are here, and even the ones that aren't here, I trust we'll see that as you mature and grow in the Lord. And so we have an abundance of people to continue to serve and lead this local church in the years to come, if he tarries. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that, Lord, there is that refining process, that is that growing process. Thank you, you don't expect us to be perfect. Lord, you just want us to continue to grow in you. And Lord, you will do that sanctifying work in our life in time. And I pray that we would all submit ourselves to the Word of God and submit ourselves to your workings amongst us and within us. That, Lord, we could be those men and women that bring glory to you and to lead you, your work and your people faithfully. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.